move on to our message. You want to grab a Bible? If you didn't bring one and you want to follow along, there's some scattered all around. We have an Adopt a Bible program. You can take one home with you. We'll be starting out the book of Revelation towards the end of it. Time's been flying by. We started this series on January 1st. Can you believe it? Here it is, the end of February. We're still teaching on heaven. We've been taking that road to New Jerusalem. And in today's message, we're getting there. We're arriving to that point at the end of the millennium and when the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. There has been so much that we've looked at in Scripture about the quote-unquote end times. We've kind of just dabbled on the tribulation. We've kind of bounced over that so that we could focus a little bit more on the present heaven. What's it like if we were to die today? Where do we go? What's the present heaven like? We've looked at some of the transition and transformation of heaven, where Christ comes down with the saints and the angel armies to the earth and sets up his throne on the earth for 1,000 years. We call that the millennial kingdom. And that lasts for 1,000 years. We looked at some of the things that we could expect to be happening, what life would be like during 1,000 years. Where will we be? What will we be like? What will we be doing? And today we're going to arrive at the end of the 1,000-year period, the 1,000-year reign. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not." We read from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 65, verse 17, how God spoke through the prophet that, "Behold, I will create a new heavens, a new earth." So Jesus, you know, Isaiah was prophesying 600 years before Christ came. So Jesus was affirming that. But he was speaking it from a first-person perspective. So we've been asking and trying to answer some of the questions of, what's this going to look like? What will happen? What will be? When will it happen? Where will we be? Why is all of this going on? And how is it going to happen? In Scripture, we don't find a whole lot of information about the new heavens and the new earth describing what it's going to be like. So we have to kind of scour a lot of Scripture and pull the clues out and put it together. The New Jerusalem is somewhat well explained, but even so, I think as we get into it a little bit today, we'll see that even that's a little bit, there could be more information. God could have given us more information. He gave it to John, no doubt, the Apostle John, told to, you know, seal up that book for a while. But let us look and see what we can dig out, what we can find, what we can get for us today, something that will give us some information on the future, where we're going. All right, so let's kind of put ourselves in the time frame at the end of the 1,000 years. Let's call it, for today's purposes, the final day of that 1,000-year reign, okay? I don't know if all these things are going to happen in one day or if they'll take many days, weeks, months. I don't know, but let's just call it the final day. So are you in Revelation 20? Verse 7. Let's start with verse 7. "When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison." Can I hear a boo? "And he will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore." Now this Gog and Magog is only mentioned in one other place in the Bible, and that's Ezekiel 38. So we connect the time frame of this battle at the end of the thousand-year reign. When Satan comes out, he's released, and he rounds up people to come against Christ, who is bent on the earth, reigning on his throne for 1,000 years. The saints have been reigning with him. So he's been released. He comes out to deceive. And there has to be people that he could deceive. So we looked at who is going to be in the 1,000-year kingdom, the millennial kingdom. And we said that there's obviously going to be believers, but there's going to be some people that are natural bodies. They were believers, but they didn't become believers until sometime during the tribulation, and they made it into this 1,000-year kingdom. And there's going to be Jews, there's going to be Gentiles. And they are what we call the natural bodies. They didn't have the spiritual body. They can have children, but the spiritual bodies, those who died before Christ came, cannot. And so there's the children that grow up. They have to receive Christ on their own, or they will die. Or they will die when they gather up with Satan to come against Christ. So that's where we're at in the time frame here. Verse 9, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. I love that. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yay! So, this is their fate. This is that last day, the final battle. Then something else happens. We've talked about the resurrection. We've talked about the first resurrection. Well, now we're looking at the second resurrection. And these are the people who are dead, that did not receive Christ as their Savior. They are resurrected, and they have to stand before this throne, before Christ, and receive their judgment. That's where we're at. Verse 11 in chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, and from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found in the written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So what John is saying here, what was revealed to him by Christ, was that this judgment was going to happen. It's going to be at the end of this 1,000-year reign. All those who have not believed in Christ, they were dead, they will stand before him, and they will be judged on one thing to start with. Is their name in the book of life? Well, sorry, it's not here, pal. Because everyone who whose name was written in the book of life has already been judged. They were received, they were given eternal life. But now, those who have not believed stand before Christ, and he starts to judge according to their deeds. I see here you stole from your parents. I see here that you did this and you did that. And you never put your faith in my son. So away to the lake of fire. That's what this saying. This is saying. I put that in plain English, not the King James there, so we can understand it. But, and it finishes up this little section. If their name was found written in the book of life, they were not judged. They were not having to stand before this great white throne judgment. Our name is put in the Lamb's book of life the moment that we become born again, the moment we receive Christ. Some would say, believing that God knows the beginning from the end, that our names were even written in the book of life before we accepted Christ, because he knew. He chose us, called us, and he said yes. Whatever, whichever way you look at it, Now, there's another huge event that has to happen before the new earth, the new heavens, and the new Jerusalem that we're looking for right now. Turn to back to the left a few books, Abe, though. 2 Peter. Turn back to your left, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. This earth that we live on right now, this heavens that we have out there now, is not permanent. We've heard it said that God is going to create a new heavens, a new earth, new Jerusalem. That means this existing one is not permanent. It's going to pass away. Jesus said it will pass away. Are you there? 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will melt with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking forward, hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen. So I've got good news and bad news for you. I don't know if you consider good news or bad news, but global warming will not destroy the earth. Okay? It says right here, God is going to destroy it. It's not man. God will destroy it. He's going to burn it up. We know when we burn things, it refines it, and new growth comes out of it. Now, you know, I'm not going so far as to say we shouldn't take care of this earth that God's asked us to steward. He put us in charge to take care of it. That's all we're saying. Do not live in fear that if you drive the wrong car, you're going to cause the earth to burn up. It's God is going to do it. And our faith, our religion needs to be in God, in His Word, what He says. All right, back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. So let's try to envision now that the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom is done. The fire has come. That God has just spoken about, and He's burned up all of the elements, and we're in the first day of the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, or beginning of the first day. Maybe it's the early morning of the first day. You know, some people believe when the Bible says that God is going to burn up the earth and all the elements will melt, that it's just going to be kind of a surface thing where you know, the structure of the earth will still be there. And others think that when he says, burn it up, all the elements and everything, means everything. Ooh, it's gone. I think for purposes of where we're going, you can be on either camp. Me personally, I believe when he says he's going to burn it all up and all the elements will melt, that's what he means. But the point is, it will cease to be, and he will create a new heavens, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. So we're in this first day, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. So something's different about this new earth. There's no longer any sea, no ocean. 22, or verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice, a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and they will be his people, and God himself will be among them. You get that? He will be dwelling with us face to face. In the millennial reign, the thousand-year kingdom, Christ is there with his throne. God's still in heaven. There's a temple in heaven. But in this time, in the New Jerusalem, when it comes down, there is no temple in New Jerusalem because the scripture says that God will be and Jesus will be the temple. Verse 4, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. You may be suffering today with pain, with an illness. Lord knows, every week we're having to pray for health and healing because our bodies are not designed to live beyond a certain period of time anymore. But we have this to look forward to, that we'll have those spiritual bodies, that we will not have death, no crying or mourning. These things that we suffer with today, depression, we won't have to deal with that. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
That should have been better news.
We can't be left. That's what matters. Would you take all that away?
Well, it'll be new. It'll be all new. Behold, I create things new. If you can't believe that God created the earth, the heavens, the sea, and all that's in them, as we read in Genesis, you're going to really struggle believing what we're preaching today, that he's going to create a new heaven, a new earth, New Jerusalem. And that's kind of why it's sort of important that we believe God's word from beginning to end. We're going from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, 22. God created. What's really fascinating? It would appear that when he creates the new heavens, new Jerusalem, we'll have a front row seat watching him do that. Because we don't cease to exist while he's doing that. Think about that. We wonder, what was it like, in that first week when God said, let there be light, all that stuff. We'll have a front row seat.
I believe all of our bodies are on recall. Whenever he calls us, we got to go. Just like automobiles are on recall, so we're just going to be no recall. That's it. Amen. It ain't going to change you. It ain't going to turn you gone.
Yeah.
So it's like, and that's my belief. Well, it's everybody. It should be everybody.
All right. So at any rate, things are going to be different than what they are now. Heaven is our home. And I'm just using the word heaven because, it gets a little confusing saying heaven or, new earth, new Jerusalem. But if where we as Christians are going to spend eternity is in the new Jerusalem, the new earth. And some would say wherever God is, that's where heaven is. Not going to argue with that really, but the point being, we're going to be in this new Jerusalem. And we've just come through this thousand-year kingdom, this millennial reign. And we have said from early on that we think of heaven as our home. When we die, and this is kind of getting to your point on the recall, it's as Christians, we've always looked at heaven when we die, we're being called home or recalled home because our spirit returns to God, he who gave it to us in the first place. So, what are some of the things that we can envision of this future home for us? One is it's a home of comfort. We're not struggling with the curse anymore. We're not struggling with the health problems. We're not struggling with idiots. I are the idiot.
We're all aliens. We're all aliens on this earth until we go, because we're just a vapor in the wind.
Yeah,
that's all we are.
Yeah, heaven's our home.
Aliens. This is not our. Whatever. We're here just for a visit.
Amen. We're looking for that city to come.
To that.
So when we're in the millennial reign, when we're in the New Jerusalem, we're in a place where friends come to visit us. We have this fellowship. We have all the time in the world for fellowship, for doing fun things. You know, today, our time frame of reference is about 80 years, right? You know, everything we measure in our lifespan is maybe about 80 years. Maybe we'll die a little bit earlier, a little bit later, but it's about 80 years. But think about when we're in the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign. We're no longer going to die. You know, we'll be thinking in terms of 1,000 years. You know, hey, yeah, I'll be over to your house in 721 years. No problem. Yeah, me, I'll be there. Okay, no problem. I got time. You know, 1,000 years is going to be our time frame of reference. Again, when we die now, the Christian thinking, it's like we're going to our home. You know, we say our brother or sister's going home, right? That's what we say. You know, when I was in my younger days, maybe some of you did this, I don't know, but you know, you get invited to this party and you just had to go. You went to this party. It was a great party. You're having fun. And then somebody else comes in and says, hey, I heard about a better party. Let's go to that better party. So we meet at this party and we go over to the better party because that's where it's really happening. Anyone else?
Yeah.
But that's what it's like.
Wasn't that much better though when we got there?
Well, I can tell you, this next home we're going to is going to be way better than this. Yeah.
That's what James 4, you know? All in James 4 about drunken parties, orgies, and all that stuff like that. You've got to live your life according to what Christ wants. Not your,
yeah.
Not your physical or your whatever, your cravings of, you know, just whatever you think. But if you read James 4, that's what it's about.
Amen.
And I've learned a lot. I have learned a lot, Pastor, since I've been gone.
Praise the Lord.
And I really, really have. I've learned a lot. Watch, stay in the light, not in the dark, because, man, you know me. You and I have been together a long time.
You were at that old party, so.
Yeah.
Yes. Not anymore.
The new party. Yeah.
The new party. Yes. So, you know, think about it. In the New Jerusalem and in the resurrected earth during the millennial reign, when conditions have changed, when the sun is seven times brighter, when the moon is so bright, it's as bright as the sun. And then we get into the New Jerusalem and there is no sun and no moon because God's light is the light that is doing everything. You know, how many of you have struggled with planting a garden? You know, especially here in the mountains. It is not easy. But think about it, in the thousand-year kingdom in the New Jerusalem, you know, it said, we read last week, how the planters and the reapers won't be able to keep up with each other, be running over each other, because it's just growing so fast, and it's growing so abundant. It's going to be like this, what we might picture as a Garden of Eden.
Amazing.
It'll be beautiful. Remember that the weather will have changed. You know, there's not going to be any tornadoes or hurricanes or, you know, destructive weather.
It's just going to be the perfect temperature out.
I believe so. And only good things will be happening. When we go up and meet someone, you know, we'll know that they're going to be doing nothing but speaking truth to us. And they're going to be transparent to us. And we're going to have automatic friendship and fellowship because we are truly brothers and sisters. They won't have any hidden agendas. They won't be talking behind our back. You know, won't that be a relief?
Absolutely. Praise Jesus.
So when this New Jerusalem comes out of heaven, in my mind, I kind of picture this huge spaceship coming out of heaven, landing on earth. Except that I can't really even say what the earth is going to look like because it's going to be new. It's going to be different. There's things that are not going to be the same. When we're there in New Jerusalem, we get to walk along streets of gold. And it's gold so pure, it's clear. And there's this wall around, and it has gates, and they're open. The foundation is these 12 jewels. There's that tree of life on the sides of the river. We feel safe and secure. We no longer have to worry about death. We no longer have to worry about, you know, if I bungee jump, is the thing going to go? And, you know, so maybe we'll be able to bungee jump.
What's kind of a difference? How are we going to get to the top levels of New Jerusalem? It's so high. Do we catch an eagle and fly up there, or do we what?
That's a good question, because
I don't know.
It comes down to the fact we're going to have spiritual bodies. Some might say, well, what are you going to build these really cool cars?
No.
Well, maybe not, because you know we have this spiritual body. We just go there.
Yeah.
Boom. And some would say, you know, we have this whole, did we have the picture of the New Jerusalem on top of the earth yet?
Yeah, you had it.
Okay, go back to that. All right, so the scale of this New Jerusalem is 1,500 square miles. So it's 1,500 long, 1,500 wide, and 1,500 high.
Yeah.
To put that in perspective, we set it on a globe there. It covers a good chunk of the United States, and it goes so high, it's higher than the space shuttle flies. So, you know, we're thinking, okay, how are we going to get up to that 1,500th floor?
That's where I want mine.
I don't know. We don't know. It may be that there's so much room we don't need to get up to the top floor. There will no longer be any greed. Okay, thanks. Yeah, let me take it. All right, so we may have some questions and answers. I wanted to anticipate maybe some of the questions and answers that we would have. So will the new earth have the sun and the moon, the oceans and the weather? And not likely, because there's no sea, there's no ocean. The weather has changed, so it would appear that it's going to be a lot more like the Garden of Eden was before the flood. Before the flood, you know, there wasn't any rain. Remember, Noah's going, what's this rain stuff that you're talking about, God? It was like a canopy of water around the earth. It was more tropical. And it sounds like it's going to revert back to that. I won't have to worry about getting sunburned and putting that sunscreen stuff on and getting skin cancer cut out of me. You know, it's not going to have to worry about it. Who will we meet? What will we experience together? Think about this. You know, as you read through the pages of the Bible, there are stories and there are characters that maybe you've wanted to meet. Maybe you've had questions of. And you can go hang out with them now. You can sit with them and find out, you know, what were you thinking? What was going on? Tell me. Talk to me. I want to hear it right from you. Some of you will have ancestors that you've never met. And you'll be able to meet them and talk with them. You may have some favorite musicians and favorite authors, and you'll be able to hang out with them and talk to them. Maybe some missionaries. You know, maybe you've been supporting a missionary or orphans, and you never have actually met them. You'll meet them there in heaven.
That's awesome.
So, what will the New Earth Society be like? You know, it says that there will be people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. You know, so will we have different skin colors? Will we have, you know, racism and things like that that we struggle with now? It's not going to be part of it. You know, so who's to say, you know, what color our skin's going to be? And the point is, we won't care. What language will we speak? Well, I was watching this show, and I think I got the answer. You ever watch Star Trek? They have the universal translator. Beat me up. You know, and they go. You ever notice they go up to an alien world and they understand what they're talking about? Mm-hmm. Universal translator. That'll be it.
That stands for everybody's created equal. When we get up there,
you know, if anybody listens to this recording, they're going to be for sure that place out in Aspen Springs a cult. Universal translator. What book did you find that in? But we will understand. We will be able to talk and share stories. Will there be animals there? Of course, there'll be all kinds of animals. We read it in the scripture, and I know everybody wants to know, will my pet, my favorite pet, be there? And yeah, of course. I don't know. I don't know. That'll matter. In fact, there'll be so many animals you can pick a new pet. You know, have a dinosaur or something for a pet.
Yeah.
So, will there be arts and entertainment and sports? I believe so, because those are things that we do that are out of joy and entertainment. You know, will there be technology? Remember, though, that when we answer these questions, anything that we can envision that might be there, it has to be pure. It cannot be something that produces evil. So we won't have the internet with porn sites, you know, because it's evil.
No more texting.
Yeah. You won't need a text. You just be able to. They can talk to one another. So, but you know, sports, we play it. It's fun. We're entertained watching it. We're entertained playing it. There's no reason to think that we won't be able to do that up there. In fact, we sing a song here once in a while. Big house, you know, and my father's house got a big yard, so we can play football. That's another, you know, scripture that I'm pretty sure about. I don't know.
Well, there's going to be babies, or is that in the
book? No, there will be no new people in New Jerusalem. No babies born, no marriage. We'll be like angels. So there's going to be so many things. We will not be bored. I know that the temptation is to feel like, well, you know, if I go to heaven, it's going to be boring. Well, you know, God is not boring. Jesus is not boring. You know, God is fun. Jesus is fun. You know, when Jesus, just think about all things he used to do. You know, go on the beach and go fishing with them. He'd even provide the fish and you'd have barbecues with them and breakfast on the beach. It's not a boring guy.
It fun. We all make it bad.
So, I have some news, a fact that you just have to come to grips with. And that is today, this very day, I can say that every one of you is dying. We're all dying. You have a terminal disease, and that's called humanity. And it's chronic. It's fatal. And it's fine.
And everybody has it.
It's common to everyone. But we want to anticipate the great adventure that lies ahead of us. You know, Scripture says that we who believe, we do not grieve over death like those that aren't saved. Because we know when we step through that door into heaven, we're going on to something greater, a greater adventure. And so we don't grieve over our lost ones. We don't grieve over our fear, our death. You know, grieving is good for a period of time and mourning, but it turns into dancing. You know, somebody said earlier that there was a calendar. God has a calendar. Sure enough. And every one of us is on there, on that calendar, with a specific day. And that's that day that we go through that door. And sure, we don't want to tempt God by stepping out in front of the car to see if it's the day. But it should enable us to live without fear. Because we can't change the day that God has already ordained. But I think even more so, like Peter questioned us earlier, knowing all of this, how then are you going to live? Can we live heaven-influenced lives now? You know, we've been week after week studying about heaven. And we've learned a lot about it. We see that things are a little different there than they are now. But I would dare say that each of us have room where we can change how we're living. We can live more heaven-influenced lives, right? When you're thinking of making a decision or you're getting up in the day and, you know, you're in a bummer mood, you know, think differently. Think of those things up in heaven. Think of those things that you're going to experience. And maybe you can start to have heaven-influenced lives right now. Maybe it will be that turning point where we can give grace to somebody we're just sure doesn't deserve. But we give them grace because we didn't deserve the grace that God gave us. You know, each one we meet, they stand before the Lord by themselves. We can't have faith for them. We can't save them. They have to be saved by the Holy Spirit. All right. I guess we tore into it. Nobody had any other questions. All right. Well, let's gather together in a circle and pray for one another.